Going under, rats in the cellar. Going under, skin's turning yellow. Nose is runny, losing my connection. Losing money, getting no affection. Welcome, everyone, to Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. My name is Corey Morse, joined, as always, by the sexiest man in rock and roll podcasting, Scott Kahaskin. How you doing, Scott?
Corey, I'm doing fantastic, my friend. How are you?
I didn't think you were going to come back this week after last week's song, to be honest with you.
Well, I thought you were done. I found my way into the chair and my mic was on, so I thought, "What the hell? Let's keep the show going." You know, we've had a lot of great songs. We've had a couple that I have not been a fan of, but the majority of them I've at least mildly enjoyed, if not really enjoyed. So, you know, we're going to hit a ditch every once in a while.
Last week was the track "Something" from the album "Music from Another Dimension." Episode 84 did not make our mixtape. Not really a big fan of that one. Hoping to right the ship here this evening, Scott, and roll a good one. And I tell you, we got some good ones on the dice. What do you say? I recap them real quick here. We have "Think About It" from "Night in the Ruts," "Can't Stop Loving You" from "Music from Another Dimension," "We All Fall Down" from the same album, "Back in the Saddle" from "Rocks," "Love in an Elevator" from "Pump," and "Make It," added last week by Scott Haskin from the debut record. So, Scott, if you could choose any of those six to listen to here tonight, which one would it be and why?
Well, I just realized is "We All Fall Down," that's still left over from John, right?
It is, yep.
Yeah. And I also realized I dislike the title of "Night in the Ruts" because it always makes me think it's a live album. I dislike that title so much I didn't even put it in caps on my spreadsheet. How sad is that? I'll fix that. You know what? I want something classic. I want something that's going to kind of drive me. I'm going to vote again. I said this last week. "Love in an Elevator."
All right, you would get no argument for me. That's one of my favorite tracks. I'm going to pick "Make It" though. I want to hear something from the first record. We've had a good run of newer Aerosmith. We had "Lived on the Edge," "Never Loved a Girl," "Out of Your Head," "Love Me Two Times," "Roadrunner," "Simariah," all from 87 and on Aerosmith. So "Jig Is Up" was our last kind of older Aerosmith way back in show 77. So I'm kind of in the mood for some "Make It" here tonight. But if you're ready, unless there's anything else we need to kick around, we talked about the Sphere last week, talked about Aerosmith and their postponed tour last week. Anything else going on in your neck of the woods? You're working on an album. Tell us about that real quick.
Actually, I'm working on releasing a Christmas song and editing my sloppy guitar tracks. I'm recording drums for that this week, if I can't get Steven Tyler to do it. And then I start working on the next album. I did a different concept this time. Instead of, usually I come up with a concept, I tell my graphic artist, Kelly, who does an amazing job on all my album covers, and she comes up with an image, or I'll give her some horrible stick figure drawing and she turns it into something a million times better. This time I said, why don't you pick the image, whatever you want, and I'll write an album to that. So, you know, you got to mix it up every once in a while, new challenge every album. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting started on that here in a couple weeks.
You're going to write an entire album around one image?
Yes.
Wow. That sounds hard. That sounds like too much work.
It's a fun challenge though. I mean, this is album 32. So I've got to find some things to challenge me on each one I do. Otherwise, I don't want to just write a bunch of songs and make an album. I want to find something interesting to do with it.
You have almost as many solo records as Aerosmith has compilation records. You said 32. You're almost 32. There. You're about halfway. Aerosmith greatest hits record.
Yeah, but mine aren't sounding like theirs are.
I tell you what, you want to hear a funny story?
Yeah.
I was on the Facebooks. You know what that is? All the kids are doing the Facebooks, right? Right. So I'm on the Facebook and I see this ad. And it's like this ad that says, "This record store is going out of business. We're selling all of our inventory dirt cheap." And I'm looking and they had things like, you know, the Black Album reissue from Metallica, like the box set for like $20. What? It's like a $200 box set. They had Aerosmith's new best of that they're touring on, the 44 tracks, and it was like $10. Like, this is fucking amazing. So I go through and I order like $100 worth of records and I send it off. And then I realize if it's too good to be true, it probably is. So I almost immediately called my bank to get a reverse put on it. And they were able to refund me my money, but not before this place shipped something. I got a shipping notification, like, "Your records have shipped." I'm like, well, this is going to be interesting. I already got my money back. I've already determined that this isn't a record store in Ontario that they had advertised. This is coming from Hong Kong. Oh. So it's obviously a scam. What are they sending me? And I kept waiting and waiting with bated breath. Are they actually going to send me records? Am I actually going to get these records and get them for free because I got refunded my money? No, they sent me a keychain. $100 keychain with a cooling towel inside. Because I get home and I look, okay, the thing was delivered. There should be a giant box sitting on my doorstep, right? No, it was a little envelope. And inside was a little keychain with a cooling towel. So I'm very, very happy I had the wherewithal to call my bank and say, hey, I just got scammed. Refund my money. And they totally did. I got every single cent back. And now a free cooling towel keychain.
Well, Corey, and I mean, be honest, though, if there's one thing that somebody needs going into the fall in Saskatchewan would be a cooling towel.
100%. Yep.
Yeah.
Can't get by without it. Yeah.
You know, I'm not a fan of the human race anymore. It's just gotten so out of control. I get at least 6 or 7 scam calls a day now. Not to mention the emails. I probably get 200 scam emails a week with my computer is locked and virus and all this crap. I have such a hard time with humanity, but you know what I love is music.
You know, I love music too. I didn't get my records. I got a new keychain, but I got Scott. And I got Aerosmith, and I got this little clip that says Toss of the Dice. Let's roll it and see what we come up with tonight. And we are going to come up with Can't Stop Loving You from Music from Another Dimension. So our second consecutive track from this record. This one was actually a single from Can't Stop Loving You back in 2012. Also notable because it features guest vocals from the one and only Carrie Underwood.
That's right. And, you know, I think the Dice heard you because you had said a couple weeks in a row that we had a lot of songs from this album on there. And I think it's just trying to correct us from overloading it with one album. And I'm very curious to hear how Stephen and Carrie sound together. I think this could be really nice.
Stephen was kind of transitioning into his country phase around this time. He would go off on he released a solo record, country record, and went off on a country tour. So not shocked at all that he would kind of go to Carrie Underwood and do a duet. He loves doing duets. And this is a Steven Tyler, Marty Fredrickson, Tom Hamilton, Joey Kramer, and Brad Whitford joint. They're all listed as writers on this one. So kind of an interesting background on this one. Apparently, Steven sings this in an emotional drawl, similar to the 1993 hit Crying, which almost kind of has a country song to it, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
and he said when they recorded the song, he said he sang a little too country. And then they thought, should we get someone in to sing on it? And they thought, why not get a country singer? And Carrie Underwood, one of the best country female vocalists, I think, out there. I'm not a country fan at all. But I can recognize that she's incredibly talented as a singer because she sings Been Waiting All Day for Sunday Night on Sunday Night Football on NBC every Sunday night for me. So,
and she sang on, one of the last episodes of season 4 of Cobra Kai, I believe.
What'd she do there?
She sang at the tournament.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was the moment of truth she did while they were doing like a Rocky style montage of the different kata forms and weapons displays. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I actually played in a country band in my early 20s and as a drummer playing old 50s and 60s country, I can tell you that it is not very interesting as a drummer, but what you will learn is how to be a metronome. It was a great exercise for me as somebody who was a progressive rock drummer and playing in, you know, like rock and metal bands, doing a lot of progressive style music, to go to that where you're literally just kick, snare, kick, snare, kick, snare, was a real challenge to reel it in. But I learned so much playing with those guys. I miss that.
Well, I'm just going to do a little more reading here on this track. And apparently, Steven Tyler and Carrie Underwood previously worked together when they performed Walk This Way and her song Undo It together at the 2011 Academy of Country Music Awards.
Hmm. Interesting.
And then I found a quote here from guitarist Brad Whitford, who admitted that there was a little band resistance concerning the Carrie Underwood duet, And then he says, quote, then we started talking it out. And he added, do you have a problem when you listen to a Dylan record and this guy sits in? No, it's cool. So why not? And then you hear those two voices together. Such a perfect move. It sounds perfect. Steven just sounds so awesome with her. So.
Well, and Metallica sung with Miley Cyrus before. So, I mean, if you could put those two together, I don't see why you can't put Carrie Underwood and Aerosmith together.
No. And the other one that came to my mind was Bon Jovi. Did a song called Who Says You Can't Go Home with Jennifer Nettles, who's from the band Sugarland. Another terrible fucking band because country music sucks, but she's an incredible vocalist.
Interesting. Yeah, see, I kind of feel like all the lines are blurred. I mean, country and pop are in a way the same thing. I mean, pop has morphed into something a little different now, but those lines have been blurred. I just feel like it's kind of anything goes these days.
No, I agree totally. Like, country is just pop music with a fiddle now, and usually bad pop music with a fiddle. Or my kid dragged me to a Nickelback concert, and they had this country asshole opening for him. I think his name is like J.J. Voss or something. But he sounded like he was trying to do country Pantera. Like, you know, his guitar players all had like big beards, and they're doing power stances and playing power chords, and he's singing about pickup trucks and shit. And it's like, it was fucking awful. It's like, you're trying to be country Pantera. Like, stop it. You're not Pantera. You're a country asshole. Stop it.
Well, and Poison, I think, did a good job between pop and country, you know, because Brett has kind of a twangy little voice, and Every Rose Has Its Thorn was kind of country. I mean, I think they had a good combination of the two. They really made that work, like the way Shania Twain does.
Yeah. Sometimes it works really well. Like, I'll go back to Bon Jovi. They did an album called Lost Highway, which not a lot of rock people like. I really enjoy it, actually, because when I was growing up, that was kind of, you know, you couldn't escape things like Garth Brooks and Marty Stewart and the like. So a more rockified version, kind of that, like the melding of those two, I think Bon Jovi sound at the time and country at the time really kind of married together kind of perfectly. And not to tip my hand, but I think it might work out pretty well on this track too. What do you say, Scott, if you're ready? Let's listen to a little Can't Stop Loving You from Music from Another Dimension by Aerosmith and Carrie Underwood.
A slippery slope, and all the others I'm hanging with, I never gave me too much rope.
So I think there's that kick drum you may have been missing on last week's song.
Sorry, that is just filling my soul right now. I was trying to think of what this reminds me of, and it's F-I-N-E fine, but your love made me a prisoner. What's that song?
What It Takes.
What It Takes. It reminds me of What It Takes. It's got that tremolo in it. It's got the same kind of vocal feel to it. Really similar.
He's singing it like he was on What It Takes as well. Like he said, he mentioned in that quote, I sang it really country. And he is singing it really country, but he did on What It Takes as well, which is, in my opinion, one of my favorite Aerosmith records of all time. Lyrically, I think Steven's on point here too. I love lines like, I fell from Holy Moses Mountain where love's a slippery slope, and all the others I've been hanging with never gave me too much rope. Like, that's a pretty good line.
It is, yeah. Good lyrics.
Yeah.
And then one day she came to me. Love at first sight, head to toes. I love her wild, my mountain child. And that's just how she goes. And here she comes. Hey, I can't stop loving you, 'cause it's all I wanna do.
Was that a Pearl Jam ripoff? Da, 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 da.
I've heard that progression in a few different songs. There's nothing too revolutionary there. I was more kind of entranced by the vocals because, like, I love Steven as a singer, and Carrie Underwood, I think, could sing the phone book and make it sound amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, again, not a fan, hate country music. The woman is incredibly talented and has an amazing voice. And when Brad Whitford says they sound perfect together, I don't think he's wrong.
No, I think the vocals are fantastic. And I think this is Steven in his wheelhouse, you know, where he's, again, this is a song where I feel like he's not singing lyrics. I feel like he's recanting his life.
Mm-hmm.
My picture on the fridge, and the first time that he kissed me, we was high up on the ridge. And when we came down from the mountain on a ride with Mama Kin, and for all it costs for getting lost, there ain't no better sin. Here we go again.
All right, that verse lyrically, I think, lost me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simplistic, right? He got my picture on the fridge, and when the first time that he kissed me, we was high up on the ridge.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes there's a lot of sacrifice that's made for rhyming, which I don't often think is necessary. But I like the way they sound together. I like the way that he just added a little layer in that verse to her voice. I thought that sounded really good instead of them just trying to you know, harmonize each other. Didn't like her delivery on a couple of those. It was almost a little too country for my taste.
Yeah.
But the tone of her voice was really good. And in that last chorus, I love that they went up and hit that one note together, but they didn't repeat that on any of the other lines. I was waiting for that. I'm really glad that they just made that one line a little special.
Yeah. Her delivery on "He Got My Picture on the Fridge." Really country on fridge. Yeah, I get you on that one. And the fact that they work in Momikin, it's kind of hokey, right? Okay, mm-hmm. We get it. Yeah, Momikin was an Aerosmith song from the 70s. We know.
But it's almost like with a line delivery like that, she's like, I just want to let you know, since I'm singing with a rock band, that I'm still country.
Yeah.
So I'm going to overpronounce a couple of words just to get that across.
As if the twangy guitar and the cowboy and the ridge and all that wouldn't give it away that it was more countryfied than rock at this point. But
I will say what we're hearing too on drums, again, riding the crash cymbal. I didn't mention it last week, but we heard Steven do that on something where he was riding the crash. There's a lot of that goes on in this band, a lot more than with most bands. It's not a bad thing as long as it's mixed well. I think it's teetering on the edge of being a little too much in the mix for me.
Okay. You know, I wasn't the biggest fan of that kind of breakdown, but it kind of led into, again, we talked about like jump transitions and drum fills. Joey does that so well. And even here, it's nothing overly complicated. He's not speeding it up like Steven did last week. Just boom, 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 boom. Like just little accents. And then the guitar is in the background, you know, a little too low in the mix, maybe for my liking, but I like what they did there to build that transition. I did like the breakdown on kind of that bridge section there, but I really liked how they got out of it.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I didn't like, especially when Steven came in and harmonized two words and then kind of ducked out, it felt very karaoke to me. But I love the way they came out of it. And like I said last week, one of the things that we were missing was those really nice, slow, long transitionary fills. And here we're back with the right drummer behind the kit.
Get the guitar solo in the outro. I hate when they do that. We almost got a little bit of the next song there too.
Ooh.
So that's Can't Stop Loving You, the fourth single from Music from Another Dimension. What do you think,
Scott? There's the Joey Kramer I was waiting for last week. That sounded fantastic. And of course, it fades out and I want to chase it. I want to know where that goes because the playing's really good. I like what he's feeling there. Overall, I think it's a pretty decent song. I don't know that I would want to hear it a whole lot. I think Stephen and Carrie sound really good together, but the song itself is kind of repetitive and it's a little bit blasé for me. I think those two, maybe it's the music, maybe it's the music just isn't there, but I don't know, something is just lacking something for me.
To me, it's very stock. When you think about like an Aerosmith ballad, you think about this. Yeah, it's a little twangier, a little countryer, which is fine. I almost prefer something like this over to, say, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, which wasn't even an Aerosmith song. They just performed it, right? At least this one had guitars. At least this one involves the band a little more than that other one did. I love Carrie Underwood as a vocalist. I love how their voices mesh together. To me, that's really the standout of this track, is how they sing it. Lyrically, aside from the first verse, which I thought was great, that kind of falls apart for me a little bit, and it just kind of rolls into kind of stock ballad territory. And I think we have better Aerosmith ballads out there. We even have one currently on the mixtape, Home Tonight, Even Crazy, another ballad on the mixtape. This is a single, so if we put it on the mixtape, it'd be in the all-time Aerosmith Top 9, which currently features Let the Music Do the Talking, Chip Away the Stone, The Other Side, Home Tonight, Crazy, Eat the Rich, Mama Kin, Shut Up and Dance, and Living on the Edge. So I'm going to vote first this week, Scott, because you did last week. Mm-hmm. I like the song. I sing it every time it comes on. I don't find anything objectionable about it, but it's not really, nothing really elevates it aside from the singing. They sing the hell out of this song and it sounds great, but there's better Aerosmith ballads out there. This is one of the better tracks on this record and certainly a good Aerosmith track. I don't think I would bump anything on our Aerosmith mixtape for this track. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think if there would have been a better bridge, it might have given me a different feeling on the song, or if we would have had that solo earlier, like coming out of the bridge, having the solo that we got at the end.
Yes, that would have been so great. Good call.
Yeah, I think it was close. I think it was lacking a little bit of a producer stepping forward and saying, all right, we've got something good. Let's take this to the next level. Apart from that, I agree. I mean, I think the vocals really were the song. I don't think musically it was anything spectacular, which is weird because it's got everybody on it as far as the credits go. So I was expecting something a little more grandiose, I guess. But if you took like the What It Takes bridge and put it in this song, something that powerful, this, I think, could have been a much better song.
Oh, tell me that you're happy that you're all like, oh, that bridge and What It Takes is one of my favorite Aerosmith bridges of all time. That is a great call. And that's what this song is kind of missing. Good track, though. I had a lot of fun listening to it. I was singing along. I muted my mic and I was belting it out, but just not quite good enough for the all-time Aerosmith Top 90. Like you mentioned, everybody wrote this but Joe Perry.
Yeah. And which is I shines.
But I don't recall a writing credit that featured everybody but Joe, except, of course, obviously on something like Rockin' a Hard Place, where he wasn't on that record. So
right. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yep. All right. Well, that's Can't Stop Loving You, another track off Music from Another Dimension, and another bloody Scott song. I can't believe that. You get to replace something on the mixtape yet again. So we now have no Music from Another Dimension songs on the mixtape. We've burned. Oh, we have one more. Sorry. Excuse me. We have one more. We All Fall Down. Maybe pick from a different record. That's my only request of you, my friend. Pick a song. Just don't pick it from this record. We've had two in a row. That's good. Let's give it a break.
I've got you on that, Corey. We're going to go with, we're going to go back to Get Your Wings. We're going to balance out the age of this list a little bit and go with Pandora's Box, which we mentioned briefly last week.
Pandora's Box from Get Your Wings. We haven't done a ton from that record yet, have we?
No, we have not. And I think it's high time we did. We've done three songs. We did Lord of the Thighs, Spaced, and Seasons of Wither.
Oh, right. I forgot about Spaced. Mm-hmm. Not a bad song, by the way.
It's had mixed reactions for me so far. So I'll be curious to hit another track and see how I feel about it.
Pandora's Box, written by Steven Tyler and Joey Kramer. A rare co-write for the two of them. So that's going to be interesting. That joins Think About It, We All Fall Down, Back in the Saddle, Love in an Elevator, and Make It on next week's Dice. But before we call it a night, first of all, Scott, I'm going to give you a break. I'm going to tell you right now, Can't Stop Loving You, according to Setlist.fm, never played live.
Well, I was going to say, unless they had done it at some kind of, like an award ceremony or some big presentation, I don't see them ever doing a song that required two singers. Why would they do it? You know, unless there's an event where she would have been there, I don't see a reason for them to do it. But thanks. I appreciate you not making me guess zero.
And maybe Carrie Underwood performed it. Maybe Steven joined her on stage. Who knows? But according, I'm just looking at the Aerosmith song stats on setlist.fm. And according to this, they never played it. So you get your break from The Price is Right for 1 week, my friend. But I'm still going to make you read the podcast rule. Tell everybody about all the great podcasts they can check out as part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network.
Well, you never have to push me to talk about the great shows that we're associated with. And, I think everybody hears me read this every week and it's in the same order. So I'm going to go in reverse order this week and let's see how long it takes me to fuck it up.
Spicy.
Yeah, I'm on fire this week. So this is what Carrie Underwood apparently does to me. So we have Chaz and Shats at Rush Rash. We have Chaz and Greg at Regarding Lulu. Sav, Nick, Stephen, Mark at Rock Roulette Podcast. Quinn at And Volume for All. Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What. Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast. George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast. Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast. Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Mad Men, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast. Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z. Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge. Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods. Riot Sabbath Bloody Podcast. Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the Other Side. The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered, back with some new episodes. Go check those out. Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast. I Have Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast. Kevin and Randy do the Seaside Pod Review. Kevin also does the Tom Petty Project all by his lonesome. Corey and Kevin do a show called The Ultimate Catalog Clash, currently covering Genesis. I'm going to have to be careful how much longer I say that because you guys are getting close to being done. And Corey, of course, you do a show with Mark Kammeyer and the podcast Will Rock, and another show with our old buddy John Mariano, Backtracks Theme Music. And not to be outdone by the Deep Dive Podcast Network, we have our friends Sean Geek and Fast Fret, who apparently I just hit puberty listening to that show. Eric at Booked on Rock, Ken Knapsack at Pop Rock and Radio. Check out his new comedy album, Pot of Thunder, and Danielle at Scout at Talk Scary to Me.
It's about time you hit puberty. You live in Las Vegas. Grab one of those handouts that you find on the Las Vegas Strip. Some of the gentlemen's clubs. Is that how you call? Is that what you say?
I think they're still called that. It was really weird during the pandemic. After the Strip opened up, it was a long time before those card flippers came back. And then they came back with a vengeance. They're just everywhere again.
I tell you, we were talking to my sister-in-law before she passed away, unfortunately, but we were talking about taking our kids to Vegas. Like, Lauren, my wife and I were like, oh, we'll take our kids to Vegas. She's like, I've been to Vegas. You can't do that. There's boobs everywhere. I'm like, we have girls. They know what boobs are. Like, we're not afraid of boobs. Like, they've seen boobs. It's not that exciting.
Yeah, there's a really weird element of like the kind of music that they play. There's a lot of hip hop and inappropriate child lyrics that get played on the strip. And it's, yeah, if you're going to have really little kids, just go to Circus Circus and stay within the dome. If you're going to go out anywhere, you do have the risk of having some conversations.
Yeah, my kids are now 15 and soon to be 12. So I think they're old enough that next time we're planning a Las Vegas trip, I think they can come with us. They really want to check out Freed's Bakery because we watched that show on the Food Network and they make some pretty cool cakes. So I said, if we ever go to Vegas, we'll order a cake from Freed's Bakery. So
there you go. And if they're Harry Potter fans, Bad Owl Coffee is a great stop.
Oh, very nice. But back before I was trying to get healthy, I thought the Heart Attack Grill would have been a really good stop.
Any time you have to sign a disclaimer before they bring you the food, legal notices and food shouldn't really go together.
Oh, but in my fatter days, I thought I could take on that place and I would be just fine. But now I'm going to the gym. I'm trying to eat a little less, trying to eat a little better, trying to fit into a smaller T-shirt. So I can actually buy merch at concerts again. Boy, that'll be nice.
Yeah. I'm so. Basically looking at olive oil on the other side of the Zoom here.
See, if I can get in between me now and you now, I'll be very, very happy.
You can only see me from like the just above my nipple line up. You don't know the fish tank I have in the midsection.
Well, and thank God, because Sexiest Man in Podcasting, I might spontaneously combust or something. Be too much for the people to handle, Scott. Thank God this isn't a YouTube podcast or anything. But what do you say we call it a night? We've kept the fine folks long enough. On behalf of Scott Haskin, the Sexiest Man in Rock and Roll Podcasting, my name is Corey Morissette. Thank you very much for listening. And as always, let's give the final word to Steven Tyler.